correction, I'm not a doctor yet. Still 3 more years in school to finish my PhD. So, yes. On the process, but thank you so much. And I just want to recognize all my co-authors. We're coming from University of Illinois, and this intervention was actually done in Chicago, Illinois, in Little Village, which is a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. The I have no conflict of interest to report. The funding, however, it came from leftover from Coca-Cola Foundation and a seed grant that we got from the university. So that's probably disclosed. Before I go into this, let's just talk a little bit about how older Latinas in the United States are not only one of the increasing demographics one of the demographics that continues to increase in weight and obesity rates, but they're also exposed to a lot of factors that make it really hard for them to change their behaviors. They face negative impacts from, part of it is their diet, part of it is their environment, and also immigration conditions, poverty, and just overall, I did most of the qualitative interviews, and it was a really hard time to just hear them talk about how they're just waiting to die, and when you look at their age, they're about 62. So it's a really pessimistic view of, this is probably not the best time to change behaviors because I'm just too old for it. So, just moving on. So the purpose of the study was to improve the quality of diet in older Latinas through a community-based intervention titled Abuelas en Acción, which translates into Grandmothers in Action. We did some previous study, and that was the one that Coca-Cola Foundation funded, and we had them take pictures and come back with the pictures and interview them with the pictures that they took. The only assignment they had was show us what healthy is to you. And they took pictures of the park, they took pictures of their family, a lot of pictures of their family, actually. They took some pictures of food, and they also took pictures of, like, their house and kind of, like, sidewalks and things like that, because a lot of pictures of it snow, that also happened, because we were in the middle of the winter, and the weather was a limitation for them to do physical activity. And also the sidewalks and the condition of the sidewalks in the neighborhoods where they live was another important limitation that they faced. So with the information that we gathered from this previous study, we built on evidence-based programs using approaches that have been tested and that have been tailored to this population, to this age group mainly. So using those, we sort of built this whole program. And Abuelas en Acción was a program that was offered through the university, a Roman Catholic parish that allowed us to implement the curricula there. And I think that this is the key element of this intervention, that it was delivered by promotoras. The promotoras were people who were just very active in the community before we came in and volunteered their time and effort and did this without any compensation. They were there for 6 months, and they were amazing. I just have to say, like, this would not have been possible without their commitment to this program. The program curricular activities, materials, and handouts were informed by evidence-based campaigns that target nutrition and physical activity. The campaigns we rely on were Live Well, Be Well, Active for Life, Active Living Every Day, The Active Your Way, and University of Wisconsin Grandparents University, which is a different program. So, pretty much what we did just was recycle their materials, translate some of the things. A lot of them was already over and tested in Spanish. We have here Siga, Precaución, and Alto. That's the Go Slow Woe campaign. That is also USD approach. And we had a bingo, and that was one of the first things that we had, one of the first activities that we had with the grandmothers. And it was a bingo that had some of the questions in, like, oh, what is this? I'm trying to think of a question, but my mind is not really coming up. What is weight? What weight is for obese or obesity and, like, BMI and things like that, to see if they have any knowledge of that. And surprisingly, a lot of them knew exactly that the threshold for overweight and obesity, and they knew that they had a problem with their weight. They just didn't know how to address it, or they didn't thought that it was important to address it because they were at a later period in their lives. The The program curriculums, sorry, I didn't really say that. Two of the six sessions were designed to learn about healthy eating and how to buy healthy food. And this was also designed with their economy in mind to like make sure that we were giving them solutions that they were going to be able to apply. Because I think that one of the qualitative interviews that we had was a woman mentioned that if you barely can afford anything but rice and beans, you telling me to eat fish, it's not that I don't know that fish is good for me, it's just that I cannot afford fish in my diet. So just kind of find healthy approaches of foods that were accessible to them, and they were also part of their diet because we don't want to impose things that were like quinoa or things like that they were probably not as familiar with. So that was pretty much how we developed the curricula. The promotoras recruited from the community were the ones who we went there and trained them and gave them training materials that we developed, and then they were the ones that coordinated the group, make sure that they sort of met at the time that was most convenient for the participants, and the meetings were once a month. But along with the meetings, we had face-to-face meeting that was sort of like a baseline, but it was just a meeting for the promotora to meet with the participant in like an individual basis and establish lifestyle change goals. So here they ask them like, what do you do? What's good for you? Like, what are you interested in changing? And based on their interest, a lot of them wanted to lose weight. Some of them wanted to like deal with the stress and like kind of learn a healthier way to cope with the stress. So based on what their goals were, they set up like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do, and I'm going to be contacting you weekly by phone to see how you're doing with your change. So, I don't know, like, let's say you want to lose weight, and we kind of like also taught them how to make realistic expectations. You're probably not going to lose 30 pounds in 1 month or something like that, because that won't be healthy. But maybe let's say that you wanted to lose weight, okay, so why don't we increase the amount of time you walk? And I'm going to call you every week and ask you, have you walked this week or something like that? Have you done something outside of your routine to reach your goal? And it also kept them motivated. And the university conducted a baseline assessment and a 6 month after the end, but that was conducted by the team at university. And we kind of wanted to keep this sort of their own thing. Like, this is the interview that you're doing with your promotora, and they have a really close relationship with them that was developed through the 6 months and the weekly calls. So we didn't want it to sound like they were assessing their own work. The participants were women 50 and older who self-identify as Latina, who lived in a Chicago neighborhood, and we had 34 participants who signed up for this. For the current data that I'm presenting, I only have the information from 19 because a lot of them refused the second assessment and we didn't have enough information from them, but 34 people completed their groups. And from the previous study, we learned that taking care of the grandchildren was one of the limitations they faced that just kind of imposed a huge burden for them. And the second one was that they were very interested in activities in the church. Their faith was a huge motivating factor. So we had three groups. One of them was the intergenerational group that included the grandchildren. And we had activities for the grandchildren, sort of like the pirate games, and we're going to give you this task and find the healthy foods in your sheet, or like find where are the calories in this thing. And we gave them like pirate things and like paper swords. The idea was really cool, but they brought children that were in a very huge spectrum. So we had 2-year-olds and we had 16-year-olds. Well, not 16, but like 12-year-olds. And the 2-year-old is probably not going to be able to complete this activity, and the 12-year-old thought that he was a little bit too old for this. So it was kind of hard to find a healthy balance. And they did crowd the children for like the first 2 sessions, and then after the 3rd session, they just kind of decided not to do the children approach anymore. The one group didn't have any additional aspect. It was just the curricula, like plain healthy curricula. And the 3rd group we had the priest help us embed some of the faith elements into the curricula. So it kind of became like a Bible group with some healthy approach to it that, I don't know, they will have something like Mary is cooking for the apostles and she's cooking this and this, and she's actually getting like really healthy fruits and vegetables, and she has fish and she has all these things. Or about this, I don't remember his name, I think it was St. Thomas or something like that, who used to walk up the hill every morning to pray and then come down from the hill So, and God really looked approve of that. So it was kind of like, well, this is the one thing that motivates you. We can probably build on it to motivate you to walk. And you're not going to walk up the hill because Chicago is very flat. But maybe just walk around the neighborhood a little bit and do a few loops with your friends or something like that. The analysis is just, it's very basic because I only have 19 participants. So we're just comparing baseline to the 6 months. We do have a follow-up information 3 months after the assessment ended, but we're still processing the data for that. So these are baseline characteristics, and at the bottom it's kind of blurry, but depression, it's 100%. Every single one of our participants was between moderately depressed to severely depressed. And transcribing the qualitative interviews is very evident. We have a few people who cry during the interview. And considering that we have, what is it, like 16 qualitative interviews, we probably have like 6 that cry. So it was just very, they face a lot of limitations and they face a lot of challenges. And I don't think that any of them expected to be in this situation when they, most of the social contact or interactions are with the kids, because the parents just come and drop them off and then come and pick them up. So I don't know. I got there and they had like 6 liters of coffee, which would be like a gallon of coffee and like a basket of bread, because they thought that I was going to spend the whole day with them or something like that. And they were just really excited. And the weekly calls, and then some of them, when we were trying to conduct the assessment, they would just make us keep calling because they really liked that we were harassing them on the phone. That most participants actually don't want to be called all the time, but they were just very excited. And during the assessment, they just shared how having this moment of adult people that we got to hang out. And, I mean, we did change a lot of things, mainly on nutrition patterns and weight. But I think that the main contribution that this did was to put them in a group together where they can meet each other and share their problems and just know that you're not alone and that there's other people around you who live really close. We're also in the same church, and just they kind of keep motivating themselves. Some of them said that they go to McDonald's after this, after the meetings, and I'm like, that's exactly what we don't want you to do. But if they're just having coffee in McDonald's, that's probably a little bit better. And McDonald's was about 2 blocks, so I guess that you walk 2 blocks. But I think overall, it was just we changed their diet, we changed their weight. We had a significant change on weight. It looks like they're still. This doesn't really take much because it's gone from 30.6 to 30.1. But if you look at the nutritional status, we have 10 participants that were obese at the beginning, and we ended up with 7. And overweight, we have 5. We ended up with 4. And we had, from 4 people that were normal weight, we actually ended up with 8. So there were some changes. The fruit intake increased, but not significantly. Vegetable intake did increase significantly. The fruit intake was already high to begin with, so just changing it a little bit doesn't look like much because they had a higher baseline than average. The fried food intake was one of the more significant changes because a lot of the Mexican food is fried. The let's see what I have here. We increased the number of meals, and we also increased the time between lunch and dinner. I'm sorry, we decreased the time between lunch and dinner because that also makes them eat a lot more. And we kind of like highlighted the importance of, instead of spreading big meals, because by the time you get to dinner, you're going to be really hungry, try to like snack on something. So we have more calories, but I think we had better calories. And because there was a physical activity component that was part of the intervention, that's probably how the loss of weight can be explained. Overall, we had improvements in eating patterns. We demonstrated that a community-based intervention delivered by Promotoras has the potential to have positive impact on health outcomes. The group that had the lowest, the highest retention group was the faith-based. They were very excited about the curricula. They really liked it because they were already kind of planning to go to Bible studies, and they enjoy getting together and praying and reading these things. So it made it really fun for them to just sit and talk about this apostle who was walking up the hill and coming back and things like that. And it was very motivating for them to have that as part of the curricula too. It sort of served like a cue for them to remember some of the information that was being given to them. The results are consistent with other promotora-led community health interventions for Latinas. The promotoras, they trusted them so much. They became kind of like a granddaughter relationship to them, but the one daughter that actually calls all the time, at least once a week, and reminds you, like, have you been eating fruits and vegetables? And especially because we, instead of bringing students to do this, we gather people from their own community that they probably already knew some of them, because these are people who are already very involved in the church. So they trusted them, and I don't know, I think that we don't really have a huge group, but all the Latinas in this particular neighborhood are not very trusty of universities coming in and telling you that you need to change your behaviors. So it was relatively effective considering the difficulties that the population faces. And also by targeting grandmothers, many of whom serve as caregiver capacity, the program extended benefits to other family members, particularly like the younger children that they care for. So the limitations are, we had retention efforts, we had limited impact, and we have a very small sample size, and we're still waiting to get results from the long-term changes. So, but overall, this is a picture from the graduation. They're holding the diploma, and we gave them a little iPad with music so that they can play the relaxation music. And then we also had to train them on how to use it, because it seemed a little bit weird for them. But overall, they seem to really enjoy the group. So thank you.